Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right, you can make your way back to your seats. Cool. Well, we are pumped you're here today, and we are actually going to continue our series. We're in the middle of a series entitled Lift. But the series will not be continued by myself. We actually have the honor and the privilege to hear from a guy who's been a close friend of mine for a while. He's actually one of my mentors. I consider him one of my pastors as well. He's the church multiplication director for Ohio. So what that means is he helps plant churches all over Ohio and does just an incredible job with that. He also is over some student ministries areas and all sorts of things. There's a lot of things that Gary puts on his hat. Wears a hat for as well. But he's my friend, Gary Fowler, and I'm pumped for you guys to hear him. He's going to bring some incredible truth today. So if you would, welcome Gary Fowler.
All right. It is an honor to be here. Corbin is has become one of my great friends over the past 10 years when we moved here to start C3 Church in Pickerington. And if you saw the picture up there, you can see my wife's a photo editor. That's why that thing doesn't look like me. That's Corbin's so influential in my life. I remember when he went through that period of he wanted to grow his hair out. Well, I'm like, well, I want to grow my hair out. So I grew my hair out. And then I saw Corbin with a beard. So I'm like, well, I got to do the beard thing too. So Corbin is so influential in my life that he's my trendsetter. So it either makes me really cool or him not so cool. I'm not sure how that works. But anyway, it's a cool thing just because Corbin actually drove to C3 in Pickerington for probably the first, 5 or 6 years until he and Sarah got together. Corbin and I have done some cycling together and things like that. We've done little half marathons, I think. So, again, just become a good friend. But one of my favorite stories about this guy is early in the days of church planting, and we're just trying to get to know people when he wanted to help out with youth. And so I took him golfing, and we're out on the golf cart, and you know, I'm a clown, but I'm kind of a reserved clown until you get to know me, and then I'm just going to unleash on you. Well, I'm just kind of trying to test the waters here and see, can Corbin handle the stupidity that I can generate? And I found out later that he can not only handle it, but he can surpass it. But one of the cool things is I remember this was before he and Sarah were, I don't even know if they were dating. I think they were just talking, whatever that means. And we were in the golf cart, and he was on the phone, and he was so into that conversation with Sarah, and I was coming up on this turn, and I was driving, and I thought, I'm going to scare the mess out of this guy, and I just want to see how he responds. So not that golf carts go fast anyway, but I turned as sharp as I could, and I look over at him, and I'm ready to laugh, and he's gone. My man rolled out of the golf cart. And now I'm like, oh, dear Jesus, I'm about to see a side of this guy that I don't want to see. I'm going to die. I might have killed him, but if I didn't, he's going to kill me. And I'll never forget, I turned that golf cart around, and I'm thinking, Gary, you idiot, you crossed the line, you crossed the line, you always do this, you always do this. And he gets up, still on the phone. Didn't even take the phone away. He gets in the cart, and I'm looking at him like, oh, this is the moment of truth. He's either going to kill me, and then he just kind of like, dude, that was a good one. And he kept talking. I'm like, I love this guy. And that's how I knew, too. I mean, he had blood all over his arms. And I mean, we didn't golf good anyway, but I think he got better. And I just got worse after that. But that's when I knew that those two were destined to do great things together, because he did not even let rolling out of a golf cart interrupt the conversation. Now, he's probably never listened to you that good since. But Corbin's just a great guy. And cool thing is that when he came into C3 Church, it was all about, you know, not sure kind of what ministry held for him in the future. But this is the part of the service that I absolutely love, because I said, Corbin, just tell me a little bit about your church. I've seen it, but give me some statistics. Give me something that I can celebrate. And so he gave me this, that about 70% of the attendees are serving in some capacity. Now, you might not think that sounds big. That's a great, great number, that there are 70% of the adults that go to the Life Change Church and you're currently serving. And 19 of those stepped on in the month of February. That is great. That says that I want to be a part of something, and this is something great to be a part of. Kids Life. Kids Life is running 45 to 50 kids. And everybody said amen for the kids workers because they're the real heroes of Sunday morning. But you running 45 to 50 kids, that's more than when you started this church. That's more than the attendance of this church when it first started. You have now that in kids ministry alone. Student Life has only been going on for a few months and already have about 20 kids. And they're students, young people. And there's other youth ministries in the state that aren't currently doing that, and they have a much longer life history than you do. Even the new building project, when you guys needed to get into a permanent facility, you did that in 2 years, by the way, which is a great thing for a new church, and you raised about $25,000 over a six-week span to get into a permanent facility. That is generosity right there. That is a great, great thing. And in total, this is a kind of a cool number too, that since you started in September of 2014, you have given to missions, to the community, to other ministries, you've given over $36,000 to other ministries to see people come to Jesus. That is just such an incredible thing, and I'm so honored and thankful and grateful for your generosity. And this is one of the cool stats for me. February of 2016, you were averaging about 56 people. February 2017, you're averaging right at 150. You almost tripled in a year. That just doesn't happen. That is great. You talk about lift, and those are some great statistics for us to get started with. And the reason, of course, the reason that we do all this is because we want to see people come to know Jesus Christ. So here's the stat of stats, the total decisions made for Jesus Christ since this church has started. Is over 113 people. And that's just the documented people. Those are the ones that we can say we know that they gave their hearts to Christ. And we are so excited for that. And I am. I'm honored to be here for the final week of the series called Lift. And I want to talk to you today about generosity. And Lift looks different for all of us. So we're going to talk about Lift, our generosity. But if you haven't heard the messages, I would encourage you to go back and listen to Lift in your relationships, Lift in your serving. Which is probably the message that you spoke, that you got 19 people to jump on board. And even faith. How do we lift our faith? And Corbin did such a great job with those three messages that I really do hope that you go back and listen to those. But today I want to talk to you about lift in our generosity. Because I believe this, that generosity builds faith and multiplies our impact. And through this series, your scripture memory, your memory verse that you've been using is 2 Peter 3:18, and it says this. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be all the glory now and forever. Amen. And I love this verse because this scripture began the end of the book is the same way as the beginning of the book. This is Peter talking and he's addressing a crowd and he's pretty much saying, hey, I want you to grow. I want you to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because basically this book was written during a time of persecution. The Christians were being persecuted, and this focuses on the internal problems of that church. And the internal problems was false teachers. And they were causing to not only not believe, but they were causing people to walk away from their faith. And so Paul, when you look at what Peter is saying here, and he's saying that the last thing, the most important thing I want you to hear is that grow in your knowledge of who Jesus Christ really is, because that's what's going to keep you from all those false teachings. And we know that this is true today, that there are so many false teachings out there, and it forms and it shapes our mindset. And our mindset is so important that I grew up with a mindset that I knew generosity was a good thing. But I used generosity as a good thing for me, because when I was growing up, my parents didn't have a lot of extra. They worked hard. They did a great job of providing for myself and my sisters. But I always knew that if I wanted to be a generous person, they modeled it in their time and in their serving others, and they modeled it in different ways. But I wanted to be around those people that were generous because I wanted to be the recipient of those people that were generous. That I wanted to benefit. I could always identify a generous person because that's the person I wanted to be around because I didn't have the extra. But I'll tell you this. It shaped me. It molded me to say, man, I can't wait till I'm in a position where I can do something like that because I want to be a generous person because I love watching the generosity of some people. So, typical high school student, I didn't have a lot of extra and my parents didn't have a lot of extra. So I learned, hey, anything I get, I'm going to have to work for it. Or did I? I found a way to possibly, I had to work, but it was a different kind of work. I didn't have to have a job. So I would go and I would just borrow money at school. I would just walk up to people and I created this whole scenario like, oh, there's a basketball game on Friday night and oh man, my buddy, he just doesn't have any money. So I'm raising money for him. Can you help me out with some spare change? I was that guy. I didn't have a sign. I just had two hands. And I had a great story and I'll never forget. I raised like $23 in dimes and nickels and pennies. I would just ask people for loose change. And I would use this guy's name, and he's like, whoa, dude, what are you using my name for? Do I at least get half of that money? I'm like, no. You got to come up with your own scheme if you want to end on this stuff. But I loved generous people, and I learned that I wanted to be a generous person. It helped form and it molded my mindset. There's a great book actually titled Mindset, a lady named Carol Dweck, and she claims this in her book. There are two types of people in this world. There are two types of mindsets. One is a fixed mindset, and one is a growth mindset. The fixed mindset believes that the basic qualities like our intelligence and our talent, those are fixed. We can't get a whole lot better. We can't get a whole lot worse. Those are just fixed things. And basically, any time we have success, it's because of our talent and our ability. So it's all, we got a cap, and that's the fixed mindset. And I would call that a small-minded thought. I would call those small-minded people to think that this is all there is and they can't get a whole lot better than this. But then there's the growth mindset. The growth mindset believes that the basic abilities, such as you can develop your basic abilities through practice. You can develop in those things. Through dedication and hard work, you can actually grow your abilities. You can grow your intellect. You can grow those things. And this creates a love of learning. And those are the people that have resilience to go and accomplish great things. And in her book, she says this, that virtually all great things done by people, they have the growth mindset. So I thought, man, that is such a great thing. I want to be a growth-minded person. I want to have a big mindset, not the small mindset, because I believe that big-minded generosity builds our faith and multiplies our impact. If you have your Bibles, if you want to go to Genesis 24, we're going to put some verses on the screen here, but if you want to read along, I'm going to start in verse 12. But let me just give you some context for this. This is a story of Abraham was getting very old, and his son Isaac wasn't yet married. So Abraham sent his most trusted servant that's been with him the longest time. I'm not positive you pronounce his name this way, but I'm going to say Eleazar. I think that's close, and if you don't know, then I'm just going to tell you that's exactly how you say it. But basically, he went to Eleazar, and he says, you know what, I need you to go find Isaac a wife. And I need you to go on the journey, and I need you to just find him a wife because I want to see him get married before I'm gone. Now, here's what Eleazar does. He loads up 10 camels for this journey. Now, you just think, how long is this journey going to be if you need 10 camels? And I don't know, but apparently he did. So basically, he stops and he gets some water. So here's where we're going to pick it up, and we're going to read in verse 12. He says, O Lord God of my master Abraham, he prayed. And I got to tell you, that's a great place to start. You're going to go on this journey. The best place to start is to pray. He said, please give me success today and show unfailing love to my master Abraham. See, I'm standing here beside this spring, and the young women of the town are coming out to draw water. This is my request. I will ask them, please give me a drink from your jug. And if she says yes, you can have a drink, and I will also water your camels too. Let her be the one you've selected as Isaac's wife. This is how I will know that you have shown unfailing love to my master. Look at verse 15. Before he had finished praying. I love this part. Before he had finished praying. How many of you know that God can actually put something into work before you even finish praying for it? I just love that part of it. He says, he saw this young woman named Rebecca coming out with her water jug on her shoulder. Skip to verse 16. Rebecca was very beautiful and old enough to be married, but she was still a virgin. She had went to the spring to draw water, filled her jug, come up again. Servant ran over to her and said, please give me a drink of water from your jug. Here's her response. Yes, my lord, she answered. Have a drink. Now, let's just pause there for a second. Rebecca had no idea that she was about to be part of an answered prayer. Rebecca had no idea that she was already in a place for God to use her. Rebecca had no idea that she was going to be the answer to this future lineage that we now are here to talk about. Because I believe that sometimes we just get too busy. We just get too busy to notice the things, the opportunities to be generous and serve somebody. Or maybe it's just because we're on our phones or we're just not looking for it. But Rebecca said, yes, have a drink. And she quickly lowered her jug off her shoulder, gave him a drink. Verse 19. When she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw the water for your camels too, until they had enough to drink. So quickly she emptied her jug and the watering trough, ran back to get some water to draw from. Now we talked about, he has 10 camels. Do you know how much water a camel can drink? Well, statistics show a camel can drink about 20 gallons of water each. So this woman, let's say she's got a 5-gallon jug. She's going to go back and give each camel 20 gallons of water. That's 200 gallons in a 5-gallon jug, so about 40 trips. Let's just be conservative and say it was only about a minute and a half to get there and to get back. That's about, you know, that's only like 3 minutes. You do the math, that's like 2 hours of additional work that she was doing. This is an answer to prayer, and she's working, and she's saying, hey, I don't care. I'm just going to be generous. And then in verse 21, the servant watched her in silence. And I'm just thinking, you got to be silent because you're looking at what God's doing, and this is an absolute miracle. And then he says this, wondering whether or not the Lord had given him success. Man, isn't that kind of crazy how God can just show up and answer in such a way that you almost can't doubt it, but yet we still do? We just write things off as, well, that could have been just a coincidence, her wanting to carry 200 gallons of water. Could have just been a coincidence. But how many times do we miss the miracles that God has for us because we just write it off as something less than what we prayed for? And then verse 22, and then we're going to unpack this. Then at last, when the camels had finished drinking, he took out a gold ring for her nose and 2 large bracelets to give for her wrists. What if we viewed every opportunity to be generous as a potential answer to somebody's prayer? What if we looked at it that way? Because here's what we do. We kind of justify or we give a rationale for the reasons that we're not generous. And that's the small mindset that we talked about. Small-minded people say, well, there's only so much. Small-minded people say, well, that's not my problem. Small-minded people might say, well, there's somebody better off than I am to take care of that need. Small-minded people might say, well, I had to work for mine, so they got to work for theirs. Small-minded people would say, well, if I'm generous this time, then they're going to expect it from me every time. That's a small-minded way of thinking. Small-minded people say, well, if I do give it, then they didn't even say thank you. They didn't even appreciate it. That is a very small-minded way of thinking, but a growth mindset, the big-minded people who want to lift in their generosity, here's what they know. It's all God's anyway. The big-minded people really believe that God, when God says, you will reap what you sow, they believe it. Because I don't know how this whole God economy works, but I hear Him say, if you reap what you reap, you will sow. So if I sow generously, guess what? I'm going to reap generously. It doesn't make sense to me, but maybe, just maybe, there's something that we can learn about Jesus through generosity. Because I believe generosity builds our faith. It multiplies our impact. You ever notice that generous people are really, really grateful? You know why? Because they know. Whatever I have, it's from Him. I'm a steward of this stuff. Whatever I have, it's all His anyway. Big-minded people say, Lord, you give it to me, and I'll give it away. Big-minded people. So here's the 3 takeaways that I pulled from Genesis 24, and I believe that this will help us lift our generosity and become big-minded people. First thing is this. Big-minded generosity is contagious. Now you think about that for a second. And Rachel gave of her time and she gave resources. And what did he do right back? He gave her something instantly. He says he gave her gold. So for her time and resources, he says, hey, you were generous to me. I want to be generous to you. It's contagious. And then when you bless others, typically that's such a great feeling that you bless them and then you want to go and they want to go and bless somebody else. Because it feels so good to be able to be a blessing to others. If we continue reading on in verse 23 to 25, there's just this really cool part, another big-minded generosity moment. Eleazar asked her, say, hey, do you have room and food? But not just for me, for my 10 camels as well. Can you house us and feed us tonight? And you look at what she says. She says, yes, we have plenty. Isn't it funny that generous people just always seem to have plenty? They don't ever really feel it. Maybe they don't have too much. They don't have not enough. It's like, hey, whatever I got, it's just plenty. And here's what I believe, that she must have grown up with parents that modeled generosity. Can you imagine somebody coming to one of your kids and saying, hey, can you house me and my 8 dogs? Well, yeah, come on over without asking you. She must have seen that modeled to where she can say, of course you can come over. Of course we're going to feed you. Of course we're going to take care of your animals. Because she grew up and she had to have had big-minded, generous parents. Parents, if we want our kids to be generous, you know how we can do that? We got to model it. You know how you can model that? Just every day. Maybe just teach your kids what a tip is. And then be generous in your tipping. Maybe you're just going to clean out the garage or clean out all that stuff that you don't use anyway, and you can put numbers on it. You say, kids, how much do you think we can make? And then say, you know what, though? We're just going to give it away. Don't have a yard sale. Have a yard giveaway. Just give it all away. Put up a big sign that says free. And just see what that's going to do for our kids. What instead of storing it all or selling it for pennies on the dollar, just be generous. Give it away. Because here's somebody did this and it just blew my mind and it really challenged my thinking. Somebody got a raise or a bonus, and instead of asking how much do I got to give, they said, Lord, how much do you want me to keep? Because their mindset, the big mindset, said, I'm going to give it. Lord, you gave it to me, I'll give it away. Lord, how much do you want me to keep? You want me to keep anything? Because we got plenty. There's people out there that don't have plenty. Lord, where can I give this to that you will get the glory? Second thing here is that big-minded generosity increases faith. You think about that for just a second. They understand it's not theirs. They say, Lord, it's all yours anyway. So when we're generous, oftentimes we're an answer to prayer. Somebody could be praying, and then you've been there before. Maybe you've ignored it. Maybe you've totally given into it. But you just have this sense of, I really think I should do something. And you never know, maybe somebody is already praying. Maybe the thing that you feel led to do, that person's already praying for it, and then your generosity is going to be an answer to that prayer. You know what that's going to do to their faith? Wow, God, you hear me. Not only do you hear me, but you care. You responded. You met my need. And then guess what it does for you? Lord, I hear from you. Lord, you provided for me, and you trusted me to speak to me to meet that need. Generosity, big-minded generosity, increases our faith. Verse 25, when she says, we have plenty, generosity increases faith. It increased his faith, Eleazar, because he prayed and God answered. Increased Rebecca's faith, because now she's going to be blessed. If you fast forward through the history to where we are now, you will see that Rebecca and Isaac, the lineage, can be traced to Jesus Christ. Man, you talk about big-minded generosity, something that she might not have given a second thought to, but her big-minded generosity increased their faith. She gets married to Isaac, becomes, you know, part of history. We're talking about her right now because she fed 10 camels. No, we're talking about her because she was generous, because she's willing to serve, because she obeyed and she was obedient to Jesus Christ. Third thing is, big-minded generosity honors God. You probably heard this story. I just love this little story of the elderly lady just didn't have enough money for groceries, so she's praying, oh Lord, please provide. I need some groceries. I'm almost out. And her window's open, and she's being all loud and boisterous, and her neighbor, he just says, you know, I just can't handle it. He's a non-believer, and he just kind of looks at it like, that's crazy, even mocking her. And then she keeps praying, and all of a sudden he just says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to teach this woman a lesson. I'm going to teach her that not only God doesn't exist, but if he does exist, he doesn't care about her. So he goes out and buys her some groceries, and she's just praying, oh, Lord, Lord, I just need some groceries. Lord, I just love you. I thank you. She's praising God. And he puts him on her porch, rings the doorbell, and goes off and hides just to kind of see her response and her reaction. She opens the door, and she begins praising God. Oh, Lord, you met my needs. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And he comes out to just burst her bubble, and she says, you crazy old lady. There's no God. I bought those groceries. She starts praising. Oh, Lord, thank you for meeting my needs. Thank you for meeting my needs. Lord Jesus, thank you. He says, did you hear me? I bought those. I bought those for you. And she's praying even louder, louder, louder. He says, woman, don't you get this? God didn't meet your need, I did. And she began dancing and praising even louder. She said, Lord, thank you for meeting my needs and thank you for using the devil's money to do it. God was honored even though a non-believer was the one that was generous. Because God's honored by our generosity. If you look at the story in Genesis 24 again, you'll see that that generosity requires faith. It also requires obedience, and it also begins with prayer. If you remember our verse for this whole series, 2 Peter 3:18, it's talking about prayer and obedience, and it's critical that we grow in the grace and knowledge. Prayer and obedience is a great way to grow in the grace and the knowledge. Then if you continue to read on in verse 26 and 27, after she said yes, can you house me? Can you feed me? Can you house and feed my 10 camels? Yes, we have plenty of room. Look at verse 26. It says, the man bowed low and worshiped the Lord. Praise the Lord, the God of my master Abraham. Generosity honors God and it blesses us. Generosity honors God and blesses our soul. It's as much for you as it is for them. There's no downside to generosity. You reap what you sow. There's no downside. How many people want to go to their grave and have their tombstone read, here lies a person who gave the bare minimum? Nobody wants to be that person. Can you imagine what would happen if we continue to grow in our relationship and in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ to help us to learn to be obedient? Obedience is better than sacrifice. As I was kind of putting this message together, I didn't even put this link together until probably just last night. That about 13 years ago, my wife and I had a daughter, and she was born with a heart defect, and she died after 4 days. I went through this I just call it a funk. I was in my dark days. I didn't know, I was in ministry. I didn't know if I wanted to continue in ministry or not. I didn't know what I was going to do, and I just thought, you know what? I may be just done with this whole thing. I was mad at God. My faith was wavering because with the faith of a mustard seed, you can do these things. Well, apparently, I didn't even have the faith of a mustard seed. So I was just in a dark place. And two of my wife's friends came in from North Carolina. I'd never met them before. But on the way up, their van broke. When they get back to school on Monday, they have to have like X amount of thousands of dollars, or maybe I think it was like $1,000 they had to have just enabled to finish school. If they didn't do that, they didn't know what it was. And this guy's sharing this story with me. Broke down van, don't know how we're going to get it fixed, don't know how we're going to get back to North Carolina, don't know how I'm going to walk in and pay for school when I do get back. And I said, well, what's your plan? He says, oh, I'm just trusting God. And no joke in my head, I said, you're an idiot. I'm like, that didn't work. That faith didn't work. So we went out to dinner and I was mad. I was mad at this guy's faith. When they left, my wife looked at me. She says, well, what'd you think of that? And it was a hard luck story. And I said, well, I kind of think we should help them. And she said, yeah, me too. And I said, well, what are you thinking? She said, she kind of gritted her teeth. She says, I think we should help with the full amount. I said, yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. And they couldn't withdraw that much money at an ATM, and I wanted it to be anonymous. Wasn't able to do it. So we wrote a check, and I put it in an envelope. And then in the envelope, because this guy said that, he says, I'm just trusting God for a miracle. That's what he said. It's going to take a miracle. And in the memo, we just wrote the word miracle. Put it in an envelope, drove by, handed it to him, and I didn't even wait around for a response, didn't wait for him to even see it. And he just kind of looked at me and says, well, here's part of it. And I drove away, and I never even put this together. Until then, I was thinking that God, because I was crying out, Lord, why don't you still do miracles? Why didn't you heal my daughter? Lord, why don't you do miracles today like you did them then? And I felt like God just spoke to my spirit. And He says, I still do miracles, but now I allow you to be part of them. And God used that moment of generosity to restore my faith and to begin to heal my heart. And I thought, all right, Lord, if this is the way that it works, then I'm all in. It was because of generosity that God restored my faith and helped heal my heart. So what about you? What area of your life do you feel like you need to be more generous? You may be sitting here and you're saying, well, I'm generous in my finances, but what about your time? I'm generous in my time, but what about your talents? What about your finances? What about your stuff? What is an area that you might look at and say, where can I lift in my generosity? Your time, your influence, your talents, your stuff. If we truly believe what Acts 20:35 says, that it really is better to give than to receive, can you imagine what will happen in Life Change Church if this became known as a generous church? Can you imagine what would happen in Ohio? Can you imagine just what would happen if this church became obedient in just their tithing? You'd probably never have to do another fundraiser again if people were just obedient in their tithing. Can you imagine if people would tithe and give? One of the things that my wife and I decided to do a long time ago is that we're going to live within these means so that we have enough margin to be able to be a blessing to somebody else. Now, we don't give to every need. We don't. We listen. There are times that she'll say, hey, I feel like we should give to this. And I'll say, yes, I agree. We both throw out a number and usually we go with a higher number. Because we want to be generous. Because we want other people to be generous to other people. And we believe that that's a way that generosity can take place. So my prayer for you, for Life Change Church, is that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And that as a result of Life Change Church and the reputation of being generous and being obedient and being prayerful and being grateful, that this church, two services, is not going to be enough. And that 113 people that you saw over the last 3 years, you're going to see that in 1 year. You're going to see that in 6 months. Because people are going to be drawn to this place because the Word clearly says, when you lift up the name of the Lord, He will draw all people unto it. So thank you so much for being a church that does that, and thank you for letting me be here this morning. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.